Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
We're going to pick up here in just a minute and talk a little bit about Gideon tonight. And I enjoyed studying today. I've been studying about him for a couple weeks because I knew this was coming up. And I'm enjoying studying about him today. But I'll say this before I study tonight, before we look in the Word of God tonight. I'm teaching tonight to more people than 80% of the time I preach in churches. Did I say that last night? Well, if I didn't say it, I won't say it tonight. I'm teaching tonight to more people than I do, let me say it this way, maybe 75% of the time I preach. And churches across this country is in trouble. I'll promise you that. The church my wife and I was in, and that's as far as I'm going with that because we're on the internet. But anyhow, I'm glad you... Are we on the internet? Okay. The boss lady says yes. And howdy, people on the internet. Good to see you tonight. Amen. But it is good to see you tonight, and I appreciate you being here. And I really meant what I just said. I'm talking to more people tonight. Probably 75% of the churches I preach in. The churches across this country is really, really in trouble. A lot of churches my wife and I go in, we're the youngest people there. Pretty bad, isn't it, Brother Robert? Yeah, I like you too. But anyhow, that really is the truth. We go in churches where there's not any youngins at all. Not any children, not any teenagers. How sad that is. And you know what that is? There are a lot of them on life support. And they're going to die if they don't get some young people, I'll promise you that. But anyhow, I'm glad you're here tonight, and it's good to see this good number. Best I can tell, we got something under 300 in this class tonight. So anyhow, chapter number 6 tonight, I'll say this studying as we look at it tonight. Chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 is given to the life of Gideon. And there's so much could be said about him tonight. You could start in the first three verses of this chapter here and stay right there tonight in the whole lesson. But I don't deal with that tonight. And there's just about two or three areas in his life I'm going to hit tonight. Some of the good stuff that he does, I'm going to have to skip it because we don't have time. But look in chapter 6 and verse number 12. Bible said in verse number 12, and the angel of the Lord. Now, you need to realize who that's talking about tonight. That comes up quite often in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord, we're going to see who it is in just a minute, appeared unto him, that is unto Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, you and I know this tonight. At this point, he's not that kind of man. And we're going to see in just a minute. And Gideon said unto him in verse 13, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, and thou that word if is, that's a terrible word. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befall us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us. That's not true. The Lord hadn't forsaken them. They had forsaken the Lord. That's where the problem's at. And delivered us into the hand of the Mennonites. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this mighty, thy mighty, and that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Mennonites. Have I not sent thee? Now, notice what he's telling him here. He's telling him, look, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you to save Israel from the hand of those Mennonites. And here he's calling him a mighty man again. But at this point, he's certainly hitting that. Notice the next verse. But I'll say in verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and Manasseh, did I say that right? Manasseh, that's one of the sons of Joseph, and I am least in my father's house. All Gideon can see is a negative. All Gideon can see is how poor he is, and how, you know, he's nothing. He realizes that tonight. And the Lord said unto him in verse 16, surely I will be with thee, and that's enough. That's all you need. If you've got God, you've got everything. He said, I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Mennonites as one man. And he said unto him, if now, there's that word again. We all have a problem with that word. If now I have found grace in thy sight. Then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I want to take these verses tonight. We're going to look at some others as we go down through it tonight. And talk to you a little bit tonight. And notice again what it says here in this verse. Bible said again in verse number 12. And watch verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. Now, when you look at that tonight, he certainly is that kind of man. He isn't that kind of man right now. But we're going to see God is going to use him to be that kind of man. And when you come to the life of Gideon tonight, you don't hear a lot of preaching about Gideon. Matter of fact, you don't hear a lot of preaching out of the book of Judges. I don't where I go. It's a good book to preach out of. It's a good book to preach to young people out of. But instead about Gideon tonight, you're going to find several things about him. First of all, you'll find that he was number five judge. That was 13 judges in the book of Judges. Gideon is number five tonight. He judged Israel 40 years, if you'll study. And in those 40 years, you know what? He really had a pretty good ministry. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about at the winding up of his life, in chapter number 8, he talks about now what all Gideon had done and how God had used him and how God had helped him. And even in chapter 8? I was going to find that verse. Anyhow, he talks about how well he'd done, what all he'd done. And he takes 300 men and whips an army of a multitude. When you study about the Mennonites, you'll find there was a pile of those people. The number was unbelievable. And God uses Gideon, takes 300 people with Gideon, and of course whips those Mennonites tonight. And when you study about the Mennonites in the Bible, they're like the Philistines. They're enemies against God. They're enemies against the people of God. And so it is here in our study tonight. And I want to give you two or three things tonight. Last night I talked a long time about the introduction. Then I did about 10 minutes in the main thought. So I want to get to my main thought tonight. I want to give you three or four things about Gideon tonight. First of all, you see Gideon's circumstances. At this time, it was a terrible time, terrible time in Israel. And we'll see that here in just a second. Chapter number 6. Israel had sinned against God. As a matter of fact, if you go back and study, the children of Israel, verse number 1, of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Mennonites was against Israel. Because the Mennonites against Israel and the children of Israel had made them dens. They find themselves in dens and rocks and hiding. And matter of fact, they even had to hide their food from the Mennonites. And at this time, the circumstances here is pretty bad tonight. And their food has been taken away from the Mennonites has taken it away. And again, his circumstances at this point tonight is pretty bad this evening. The Bible said in verse number 1 there, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I want to tell you, that's the reason the Mennonites come in and took over. And that's the reason God allowed that to happen. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And if you study the book of Judges tonight, you'll find that statement comes up quite often. Even at the end of it, it talks about how they sinned against God. And the Bible said here in this verse here, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. And any time you do evil in the sight of God, you ain't got but one way to go. Are y'all hearing me? There's only one way you can go when you do wrong. When you get out of the will of God, or when you sin and do wrong, I'll tell you tonight, there ain't but one way to go. Did the Bible say the way of a transgressor? What's the rest of that verse say? It's hard. That's what I thought it said. And I'll tell you, that is so true tonight. The way of a transgressor is hard tonight. And they've gone away from God. They've sinned. They've gone away from God. And God's allowed the Mennonites to come in and take over. And for 7 years there, the Bible says. And what a terrible time it was in Israel. You know, I got to think about that today when I studied. When I think about America tonight, I don't know if you know this or not, we're in a mess. I'm telling you, this country is in a mess. I'm not near as old as Brother Robert, but I'm old enough to know this. He married a young woman, by the way. I'm old enough to know this. I have never seen a time like it is right now. I never dreamed that I would see what we're seeing right now. And you know what's happening in America right now? The exact same thing that happened to Israel right here in these verses here. The Midianites come in here and took them over. And you know what's happening in America right now? That's exactly what's going on in America. Our borders has been opened, and I'm not a racist, and don't label me that. I am not a racist. But I am a red-blooded, born-again American. Somebody say amen. And it bothers me when I drive down the road and see somebody taking the American flag down and putting another country above the American flag. You know what that makes me want to do? I have a friend that rides with me everywhere I go, right beside of me. And it's normally got 10 things in it. Hello, Tokyo. I want to shoot that. Are you hearing me tonight? You say, preacher, you shouldn't feel that way. Why shouldn't I feel that way? This is America. This is our... Listen, if they don't like what's going on here, go back to where they come from. But I'm going to tell you what's happening right now in America. God's allowing other countries and other people from other countries coming. They're going to take us over some of these days. And that's exactly what happened to Israel right here. And the reason it happened to Israel, look at it in verse number 1. And the children of Israel did what? I'm in Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did what? Evil in the sight of God. And I want to ask you a question today. What in the world? How about right now in America? They did evil in the sight of God. Man, we got people now. We even got people in office tonight. I don't even know what a woman is. I hope you ain't going to vote for her. I'm moving on. Are you listening to me? How sad. What a sad day we're living in. And I believe with all my heart, I think about when I studied in today, I'm wondering if God's not allowing right now those things happen to America that happened to Israel right here because they had sinned and done wrong. And how sad it is. I want to tell you, I'm going to be gone some of these days. I'm older than Robert. I'm aggravating Robert. I'm going to be gone some of these days. But if Jesus don't come, I shake in my shoes when I think about what my grandbabies and great-grandbabies are going to have to grow up in. I'm going to tell you something. You can do two things tonight. Number one, you can pray. And number two, you can vote. And if you don't vote, keep your mouth shut. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? And I'll say the same thing right here in this verse, first part of this chapter in chapter 6. Same thing happening right now in our country. If there's ever been a day you ought to pray for America, it's right now. I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I mean that. And I pray for those that I don't care much for. But I still pray for them because I'm committed to pray for them. I was praying the other day for some of them. This is said. I was praying for some of those the other day, and it seemed like the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, they're reprobates. A reprobate. Are you hearing me tonight? And I believe we got some in Washington. I really believe that with all my heart. Well, that's sermon number one. I wasn't going to say all that. But I'll say the circumstances here with Gideon tonight's not too good. The Midianites has come in and taken over. And the Bible said there in verse number 1 again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered him into the hands of the many. For 7 years they went through that. And what a sad condition it was. And of course in verse 2 and following, if you want to read all that, you can read it. You'll find that Israel's hid away. They're hid in the dens and rocks and mountains and everywhere else because of what the Midianites are doing to them. And how sad that is. Not only you see in this text here tonight, you see the circumstances around Gideon, but don't you see Gideon's call and Gideon's commission tonight? Notice again in verse number 12 with me. Bible said in verse number 12 again, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And notice what he says here. He said, the Lord is with thee. Notice the call here tonight. And Gideon, when you study about Gideon, Gideon was a chicken. Gideon was afraid. As a matter of fact, if you study even in this very chapter right here, you'll find the latter part of verse number 11 there. Bible said that Gideon was thrashing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He was scared. He was afraid. But yet God says right here in this verse, and by the way, they're taking the food away. They're stealing the food. And what God is saying to Gideon right here in this verse, thou mighty man of valor. Now when you look at him and look at it from that standpoint, he's certainly not that at all. And I'll just say this tonight. The Lord knew, and by the way, the Lord knew where he was at. He hid behind the winepress. And the Lord knew exactly where he was at. And can I just say this real quick tonight? He knows where you're at. He knows where I'm at tonight. He knows what we need. He knows what we're going through tonight. And the Bible said here in this verse, and the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, the Lord appears to him. You say, who you believe it was? Or an angel appears to him. And the Lord appears to him in the form of an angel. In the New Testament, he took not on him the nature of an angel, but took on him the nature of Abraham. Are y'all listening to me? Flesh, human flesh. But in the Old Testament, he did not do that. In the Old Testament, when he appeared to man, he appeared in the form of an angel. And so it is right here. Bible says in our text verse here tonight, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's talking about the Lord himself through the form of an angel and speaks to Abraham. And by the way, can I say this tonight? He does that quite often in the Old Testament. I thought about several different passages in the New Old Testament where he did that. One of them is Genesis 18. We'll look at it tomorrow night. Genesis 18, he comes down to Abraham's house. And when he gets to Abraham's house, matter of fact, there's three angels that come down there. There's three. And two of them, the reason that they come down, they was to deliver Lot out of Sodom. That was the reason they came. But two of them went on to Sodom. If you look in chapter 19, we'll look at that tomorrow night. In chapter 19, there's only two that goes to Sodom. But one stops off at Abraham's house. We'll deal with that tomorrow night. You know who that was? That's the Lord. He had something to say to Abraham. You'll say, what did he say to him? Come tomorrow night and I'll tell you. Are you listening? So I'm going to say to you tonight, he appeared to him that way even in an angel. And he stood by the way. He stood by the tent door in Genesis 18. And Sarah laughed about it when she heard she was going to have a baby. And the Lord stood by her at the tent door. He heard her. And we'll look at that tomorrow night. By the way, he stood by Jacob. Genesis 32 down by the river. You'll find not only he stood by Moses. You remember Exodus chapter number 3 by the burning bush. By the way, last night we talked about Joshua. Joshua was standing over right beside the wall. Guess who stood with him? His angel is the Lord. Are you listening to me? So many times he appears that way in the Old Testament as an angel. And so it is here in our text tonight. He appears to, and by the way, he appears to Gideon. By the way, he appears also another time in this book to Samson. In chapter 13, if you're studying, you'll find he does that. And I'll just say this tonight. That encourages me. I'm glad the Lord knows where we're at. I'm glad the Lord knows what we need, when we need it. Even in the Old Testament, when they didn't have the Spirit of God, God would appear to them and God would help them. And think about this tonight, and I'll say more about it in just a minute. Gideon's doubting everything. Gideon tonight is, he's so fearful. He's afraid of everything. But yet the Lord appears to him. How encouraging. He should have let that be encouraging to him instead of discouraging to him. Notice something else tonight. You don't want to see Gideon's commission and call. You see Gideon's circumstances. But notice this tonight. Notice Gideon's confusion. He's confused. You say, what? He's confused. Look at verse number 13 again. Bible said in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why? Here he goes. Why? Why then is all this befell us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of? I heard about what they done in Egypt. I heard about, my fathers told us about that. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now have the Lord forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites? Notice this tonight. And again, notice in verse number 12 again. He calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. And what I simply mean by that is Gideon's confusion tonight. He was confused. Because Gideon knew who Gideon was. And by the way, you better know who you are. You remember this over and over again in the Bible? Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Even in the epistle, 1st and 2nd Peter, Simon Peter. You remember Luke 22? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. Why does he keep calling him Simon after he changed his name? He wanted Peter to realize, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And you know what Peter said? Peter sticks his thumb behind his suspenders and says this, don't you know something, Lord? I'm ready to go with you all the way, even into prison and even unto death. But guess what happened 23 verses later? 23 verses after that was wrote, 23 verses later, you'll find Simon Peter standing out there with that little damsel by a campfire. And she said, you're one of them. You was with the Master. You was with the Lord. And Peter, you know what he done? He lied. He cursed. He denied. Why did the Lord say, Simon, Simon? Listen, he did that to get Simon's attention. Let me tell you something tonight. Don't you never forget who you come from, what you are. All we are is clay tonight, and you take the Spirit of God away from us tonight, we'd be in a mess. You take the Holy Ghost out of my body tonight and the new nature away from me, I'd be right back in the mud by daylight in the morning. Are y'all hearing me? And so I want to say the confusion to Gideon simply this tonight. Who's he talking to? Thy mighty man of valor. Who in the world is he talking to? And by the way, I want to say this. Again, at this time, he wasn't that. But I want to say God saw what he would be. God saw what he was going to be. And the Lord saw what he would be. And at this time, again, Gideon didn't realize that. But he saw what he would be down the road. And I just want to say this to you tonight. Gideon's confusion tonight. What I simply mean by that is simply this tonight. Man, he remembers. Why, he's the smallest in his father's house. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. And he said to him in verse 15, let's read the verse. Watch the verse. And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. And by the way, again, that's Joseph's son. And J. Vernon McGee said he never amounted to nothing. And I'm the least in my father's house. Get his confusion. He's saying, man, I'm nothing. How's God going to deliver Israel in my hand? And he remembered that. And I want to say this to you tonight. Don't never put confidence in the flesh. You can do nothing without God. And I can do nothing without God. Gideon, listen to me. Had you and I been picking somebody to fight Israel, it would not have been Gideon. Can I say that again? Had you and I been picking in that day, had we been picking somebody to go fight the battle, he would have been the least. He's the smallest in his father's house. Didn't amount to anything. But yet that's who God used. And that's who God chose to go fight with Israel. Or to go fight for Israel, I should say. And may I say this to you tonight? God may be saying to you tonight, God may be calling you tonight. And you know what? You may be saying this tonight. I can't do anything. Man, there's no way. I can't do anything. And I never will forget this. New preachers here know what I'm talking about. I never will forget when God called me to preach. I almost laughed. I really did. I thought, this is crazy. This is not going to work, and I'm not going to do it. You better be careful about what you say you're not going to do. I remember that. And I want to say this to you. God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. And if you notice here, Bible says here that God chose him. God chose a man. God chose Gideon. He didn't choose a woman. He chose a man. And I want to say this now. One of the problems of our country right now, he didn't choose a woman to fight this battle. He chose a man. And one of the problems in our country right now, and I know you're going to get mad at me right now, and I can't help it. A lot of women out of place. The woman over the weekend at quit today, resigned, whatever. She just well resigned because they're getting ready to fire her. Are you listening? Woman over the security, she quit today. Well, she didn't have no business there to start with. Wonder who put her in there. I'm moving on. Are you listening? Are you listening? God calls men. God doesn't call women. And I'm not saying women shouldn't have a job. I'm not saying women shouldn't do certain things. But I don't tell you, God never anywhere in the Bible allowed and agreed for a woman to usurp authority over a man. That's never been the will of God. It's not the will of God now. And I know I'm not liked for saying that. You say that in a lot of places, but people don't like you saying it, but it's true. And notice here tonight, again, I got to move. Notice this tonight. Gideon's confusion. He did not understand why God would call him. The smallest in his father's house. I mean, just a chicken hiding out away from the Midianites. And thy mighty man. Gideon was confused. God looked down and said, hey, man, you're a mighty man of God. I want you. I'd imagine Gideon probably turned around and started looking around. Who's he talking about? What is he talking about? And who is he talking about? And I want to say this to you tonight. You may be in this room tonight, and you may feel this way tonight. I can never be used of God. I'll say this and hear me real good. You can do anything God wants you to do. God will never call you to do anything, and God will never put anything in your heart to do what God won't help you do that tonight. You may feel like Gideon tonight, and I promise you, I feel that way all the time. I mean that with all my heart. I'm the least of the least. I'm the smallest of the smallest. I'm not just talking. I mean what I'm saying tonight. I feel that way tonight. I really feel that way. My wife and I, we say this all the time. We don't understand it. Why God would help us do anything. I don't deserve that's what I deserve. Matter of fact, if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. That's where I'd be. And to think that God would use somebody like me, and I want to say to you in this room tonight before I move, it doesn't matter who you are, how small you are, how uneducated you are, how backward, how timid you are, I'll tell you something tonight. God will use you if you'll let him. Gideon was fearful. Gideon was timid. He was full of self-doubt. He just keeps talking about F. Again, look in your Bible again at verse number 13 there. He says in verse 13, I done read it. He said, and Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, F. Look at verse 17. And he said unto him, F, now I found grace. F, now. Oh, I'd see it up here. That's good. F, now I found grace. He keeps using that word F. And I want to say this to you real quick again tonight. I don't care who you are, God can use you if you'll let him. If he wants you to do something, I'll promise you he'll equip you to what you're supposed to be doing. And I can't believe it sometimes where I wind up. And I met a live. I'm sitting on the front row about ready to have a cardiac. All right, listen, getting ready to preach. Can't believe where I'm at. And but I'll tell you, God can, listen to me tonight. Dr. Seidler, you say this all the time. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And he can use you tonight. And I don't care what you say, preacher, I feel like I'll be Sunday school teaching. I'll be a Sunday school teacher. But you know, I just don't think I can do that. You're right. Yeah, preacher, I ought to be singing in the choir. I know God's put it in my heart, and I ought to be singing in the choir, but I don't believe I can do that. You're 100% right. Hey, preacher, I feel like probably I ought to sing a solo. But I probably can't do that. You're right. Hey, preacher, I believe I ought to go on visitation. I can't talk. Now you just lied. Isn't it amazing? I hear people say that all the time. Boy, I can't talk. Well, what are you doing right now? Hey, preacher, I believe I ought to be giving out gospel tracts. But, you know, I just can't do that. And you're 100% right, every one of them things I just said. You can't do it, but God can do it through you. I'm amazed what God can do through you and through me and through us. It's amazing God gets anything done with the crowd he's got to work with. Are y'all hearing me? But I'm telling you now, he'd take you like Gideon tonight. Gideon tonight, he was confused. Man, who are you talking to? Mighty man of valor, who are you talking to? And I'll say this to you tonight one more time. And I don't know how I'm belaboring this point, but God will use you if you'll let him. Are you listening to me? Brother Easton, I want to ask you a question. You feel like God made a mistake and he called you to preach when he first called you. How about you, Brother Jake? How about you, Brother Ramsey? Any more preachers in here? Anybody here supposed to be preaching? Are you listening? I mean that tonight. I really mean that tonight. When God, I never will forget this. When God called me to preach, my wife and I, I'd got saved and we'd got married and she'd been saved for a few years after she got saved a long time before I did. She got saved, she's 12 years old. I got saved when I was 18 years old. But we got married when I was 18. We got married when I was 18. I'm not sure I'd recommend that, but we did. And everything worked out okay. 54 years down the road, I'd do it again. Amen. But here's what I started saying. We got in church. When we first got married, I got her out of church. That was a big mistake. For about the first year, we was out of church. But we got a life right with God. I'll tell you when we got a life right with God. I'll tell you the date. I'm not going into that story. We got right with God in 1971 and got in church. My daddy had been pastor in the Briar Creek Baptist Church in Wilkes County. So that's where we started going to church. Shortly after we started going there, my daddy left and took another church. So we remained members there and stayed faithful there. I'd done everything I was doing in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a Sunday school superintendent. Everything I was due, I done it. They come to me and said, I want to ordain you for a deacon. I didn't have a clue what a deacon was. I said, absolutely. And when they asked me that question about the deacon, God had already been dealing with me about preaching. So I thought, if I do that, that'd get that off of me. So Robert, it ain't going to work. You just woke up and surrender. It ain't going to work. But here's what I started to say. Dad had come back to preach revival in that church. After we'd been there a year or two. And Daddy was preaching one night. I know what he's preaching on. He's preaching on Moses going to Egypt to lead Israel out. Moses going down to Egypt to lead Israel out. Boy, he hammered out for about 30 minutes. And then he started talking about, boy, God needs somebody to go today. God needs, boy, he is letting her rip, man. He's a preaching the house down. I was sitting in the back row of the choir. I was real timid. I was so backward. I said, amen. Amen. And I tell you what happened, man, when I got saved, when I got in church. I wouldn't talk. I dated her 3 times before I spoke to her. If I'm telling the truth, raise your hand. Pretty much so, right. I was. But when I got in church and got right with God, Mr. Sparks, the old man in the church, and he was the only spark in the church. He really was. He's deader than a hammer. And I liked him because, hey, man. Hey, man. So I started sitting behind him. Had a little choir over here on the side. And I started sitting behind him. And every time Mr. Sparks would say, amen, I'd say, amen. I got a little louder every week, a little louder every week. I was so timid. I was so backward. Here's what I started to say. That night, my daddy was preaching. God called me to preach that night. And daddy said, somebody needs to go to this world. Somebody needs to go here. Somebody needs to go to Wilkes County. I said, amen. And about that time, I'm telling you, something hit me right in the center of my heart. Said, I want you to go. And I looked around. I'm like Gideon. I was confused. And I couldn't believe God did that. I couldn't believe that. And you know what I told the Lord? I said, not me. I said, call Larry. Larry's my brother. He'd been saved longer than I had. I said, call Larry. He's the one. He can do it. My other brother, Jerry, he'd meaner than a devil at that time. He wasn't even saved. So I said, call Larry. So make a long story short, here's what I want to say. I don't care what God calls you to do, and I don't care how timid you are and how backward you are, like old Gideon right here. God will use you if you'll let him. Are you listening to me in that? I said, God, we're a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is tonight, God will use you. Me? You. How many yous are there here? Let me rewind that. How many is here? You are a you. Are you listening? I'll give you one verse and I'm going to my next point. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Anybody got any idea what that says? Somebody say it loud. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. The key to that verse is through Christ. Not you, not me. Not Gideon, but through Christ. So I want you to notice in this text now. First of all, we see Gideon's circumstances here. Israel's done wrong. They're in bad shape. They're hid away. Midianites are stealing their food and everything else. We see Gideon's call, his commission. We also see Gideon's confusion. He's so confused, man. He just don't understand it. But notice Gideon's confirmation. God gives him a confirmation. God shows him, and God gives him a confirmation. And notice what he does in verse 16. Bible says in verse 16, watch this verse. Bible says in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with you. Surely I'll be with thee. What more confirmation do you need than that? Surely, Gideon, the confirmation is, I'll be with you. It's the same thing that he said to Joshua last night. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. I'll be with you. And the confirmation is simply this tonight. Bible said, and he said unto him, if now, verse 16 it was back there. He said in verse 16, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. What more confirmation do you need than that? I'll say this to you now. Don't you listen to me. We don't have anything in this world today other than the Spirit of God and the Word of God. If you don't let the Word of God and the Spirit of God speak to your heart, He ain't going to give you nothing else. The confirmation is simply this. Hey, I'll be with you. What more do you need? What more do you need? I said it last night when I was talking about Joshua. God will not fail you. Has it ever dawned on you God can't fail and God won't fail? And when you're in the perfect center of the will of God, He's not going to fail you. The confirmation is, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Tell you one thing about it, every night, most of the weeks, about every night, I'm somewhere preaching. And right before I get ready to get up off that front pew to go to that pulpit, I remind the Lord of that. I said, Lord, you said. You said it. You said, you never leave me. You never forsake me. And I'll say this to you. The confirmation is simply this. I've left him, but he hadn't left me. I have forsaken him, but he hadn't forsaken me. So I want to say the confirmation is simply this tonight. Hey, I'll be there. I'll be with you. I'll help you. And notice, look at verse 17. And he said unto him, if, there it is again, if, what more do you need than the Bible? I'll tell you something now. That Bible right there is all I've got. That's all I've got. I don't have anything other than that right there. If I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell believing this book. If I burn in hell, I'm going to burn in hell believing Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And are you listening to me? He died for my sins, but he rose for my justification. And I'll say this to you tonight. What more do I need tonight? Let me tell you something now. He's not going to give you no more than that right there. And God is saying to Gideon, the confirmation is simply this. Hey, Gideon, you don't need a sign. No, sir, you don't need that at all. I'm with you. He says in verse 17 again, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. I want to tell you this tonight. God's not in the signs business. We're in the wrong generation to seek signs. And by the way, can I say this? I don't have time to explain it, but can I say this? Good night. I've got to hush. Listen, there's no signs for the church today. Signs were for the Jews. Are you listening to me? Tongues are a sign to the Jews. Hello, charismatics. Are you hearing me? And signs was not for the church. Signs were for the Jews. Can I say this real quick? There's no signs for the rapture. You say, how about Matthew 24? You better find out what Matthew 24, 25 is talking about. The Olive Discord, there is signs, but it's not for the first coming, it's the second coming. You'll say, well, those things are happening right now. Well, how much closer we are to the coming of the Lord then? But it's not. And by the way, for signs, you're saying you can't believe that Jesus would come any time. In other words, that sign would have to be done before Jesus came. It didn't work that way. He could come right now. There's not one sign to be fulfilled as far as the rapture church is concerned. Paul believed he's coming his day. But here's what I started to say to you. Confirmation. Oh, Gideon says here, show me a sign. Show me something. So you know what Gideon does? We don't have time. Man, I'm alive. I can't believe the time. You know what Gideon does? In chapter number 6, Gideon throws out a fleece. And he says, Lord, if you're really with this, and I'm really supposed to do this, I'm going to throw this fleece out. And in the morning, it's in chapter 6, if you want to read it, morning, let there be dew on the fleece and none on the ground. Well, he gets up in the morning, and guess what? Read verse 36 and follow, and you'll see it. There, it's wet. There's dew on it. Now, that ought to have been enough right there. He shouldn't even have to ask that because the Lord done told me he's with him. But you know what Gideon does? He said, Lord, please don't be angry at me. But one more time, in the morning, when I get up, let the be dew on the ground and the fleece be dry. God did it again. And I'll just say this to you tonight. Listen to me. We're not in the fleece-throwing generation. You know, people say, now, Lord, if you want me to get saved, do this or do that. It don't work that way. Lord, I'm going to go to church today, and if three people get saved, I know it's the will of God, me do this and this and this. I don't want to bust your bubble, but it don't work that way. We walk by faith. We don't walk by signs. And I do know this tonight, and I got enough sense to know this. God lines a service up. I'm amazed how God lines a service up. I went to church Sunday morning with all intentions to do one thing and did right opposite. But God, that was God. And I'm going to follow him, and I want to say this to you tonight. This thing of sign seeking and all that, that's not for our day. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say to you. My time's about up. Listen to this. In the Old Testament, they did not have what you and I have. Brother Stan, you got 66 books right there. You got the complete canon of the Word of God. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. We have something else they didn't have in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside. God will give you peace. God will assure your heart. And you say, well, if God wants me to preach, we'll have 310 people in church Sunday. That's about as dumb as a stick. That's not the way it works. You're not going to put God in a box, and you're not going to put God on a shelf and say, you're not going to tell God to do anything. Are you hearing me? Now, you asked him, and you asked him, but you're not going to demand God to do anything. Now, God, if you're calling me to preach when I go to church Sunday, let him sing Amazing Grace. Well, you're called to preach because everybody sings that every Sunday. Are you listening? It don't work that way. And again, let me tell you this. You and I have something the Old Testament didn't have. We have the complete Scriptures. Yeah. And by the way, if whatever you're doing don't line up that book, you better quit what you're doing. Number two, we have the Spirit of God living in us. And it's just too real not to be real. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll show you. John 16 said he'll lead us into all truth. We have that. Number three, we have supplication. We have an intercede, an interceder. Somebody intercede for us tonight. We have that tonight. And by the way, another way you know the will of God is the peace of God. God will give you perfect peace in your heart about what you're supposed to be doing. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I never will forget today. God spoke to my heart about the last church I pastored about leaving. I'd been thinking about it. It'd been on my mind. And he probably had it on my mind. But I remember, I'd take you to the spot right now where God gave me perfect peace in my heart. That's exactly what I was supposed to do. And I'll say this real quick. I ain't going to finish this. But I'll say this real quick. You don't have to jump around about the will of God. Are you hearing? You know the will of God. Are you hearing me? I said you know the will of God. God will show you from the Word of God. God will show you through the Spirit of God. God will give you peace in your mind and peace in your heart. Every major decision I've ever made in the ministry, I've only made about three or four. What, pastor four churches? Three churches. I pastored three. And how many churches did I pastor? One, two, three. Now, the first one wasn't a church. I'm skipping that one. That was boot camp. But the three churches I pastored. All right, listen. God give me perfect peace about all three of them. God give me perfect peace about being an evangelist, what I'm doing right now. And when God give it to me, he give it to my wife. I'll promise you, she had to. But I got to get off this. Gideon, notice, hearing this, he's trying to get a sign. He's wanting confirmation. And I'll tell you tonight, you don't get no more confirmation than the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the peace of God. So notice this, and I, my time's gone. Notice this, I'm done. I'm not going to finish it. Gideon, and watch this. You got Gideon's circumstances around him. You got Gideon's call and commission. You got Gideon's confusion. You got Gideon's confirmation. But then you got Gideon's conquering. Isn't it good in chapter 7? I'm not going to turn some times up, but listen to this. In chapter number 7, God uses Gideon to do an unusual thing. Unbelievable in chapter number 7. And God was going to deliver the Midianites into Gideon's hand. And I'll paraphrase it real quick. Here's what he says to Gideon. There's too many of y'all for me to give you the victory. And God begins to thin them out. And they go from 32,000 to 300. 32,000 to 300. God says, Gideon, you got too many with you. 22,000 left at one time. 22,000 walked. You ever had a church split that big? 22,000 at one time. And he thins them down to 300 people. And it comes down to those that lap like a dog or those that drank with their hands. And he said, those that drank with their hands, set them aside. And it was 300. Read it in chapter number 7 when you get home. And it was 300. And God took those 300 men and Gideon and gave victory over the Midianites. And his strategy was unbelievable. Just like Joshua's last night. The strategy that Joshua used last night to conquer Jericho. I wouldn't have done it that way. March around. March around, blow a trumpet. We don't need that. We need some bombs. We need some jets. We need somebody to bomb this place. God said that's not the way to do it. He said walk around one time a day for 7 days. And the seventh day, if you're here last night, you know the story. The seventh day went seven times. And I know it tires Baptist gallbladder out, but they shouted with a great shout. They sure did. And the walls fell down what? Flat. Sure did. And so the strategy is right here in this story is this. Gideon, you take those 300 men, and here's what you do. And by the way, the number of the Mennonites and those in the east was as of the grasshoppers of the field. thousands of them. And all Gideon had was 300 men. And so what Gideon does, unusual strategy that he uses here. And with those 300 men, they take a trumpet, they take a lamp, and a light and a lamp and a trumpet. And they line up in the valley at dark, line up in the valley. They divide them three different groups, 100 in each group, and lines them up down through the valley. And at the sound of Gideon, they was to do what he said do. They sound the trumpet, broke the pitchers, and the lights did shine. When they looked down, those Midianites looked down that valley and saw all them lights. One for 300, but it looked like it was a million. You know what they done? They fled and run away. Are you hearing me tonight? God's strategy always works good. Here's some good stuff. They didn't win the victory till they broke the lamp. You got to be broken before you've never been used. Boy, I found that to be true in my life. You got to be broken before you never shine. Boy, when they broke those lights, I broke those lamps, that light shined. God gave them the victory. Midianites turn and run away. I'm telling you now, God's ways are not our ways. And I'll say this to you now. God's ways not our ways. God's thoughts not our thoughts. They're higher than the heavens for mine. I thought about this scripture. What time is it? I thought about this scripture. Close enough. Here we go. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, yet the you see that? That no flesh should glory in his sight. You're a bug man. Did you get him? That no flesh should glory in his sight. Hey, I'll tell you something. God takes the weak things. God takes the things that nobody... God's ways are so far above our ways. I want to say this tonight. I'm hush. You don't have to understand him. Just believe it. You don't have to figure it out. Just believe it. If you want to go crazy as a bed bug, now just knock one on Robert. If you want to go crazy tonight, you go trying to figure everything out. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't got it all figured out how God saved me. You'll say, are you not saved? I'm as saved as sure as you are. And I'm more sure than you are, I hope. Are you listening? Lady come up to Dr. Lakin one night and said, hey, Doc, said I hope to meet you in heaven one day. Dr. Lakin said, well, it's up to you. I'm going. Are you listening? So I want to say this tonight. Hey, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand anything about salvation. How in the world God can take a drunk, a prostitute, a streetwalker, a drug addict, out of the world, clean them up, 2 weeks later standing in the choir singing, a month later preaching the Word of God. Explain that to me. Explain to me how God can take the blood that was shed more than 2,000 years ago, that's in heaven tonight, and take that same blood and wash my sins away and never... Explain that to me. Look up here and hear me. I can't explain it. I don't understand all that. But I know it's real. It's real. What a God. If you can explain him, he wouldn't be too big a God.